Something beautiful happens when we give money to those in need. A growling stomach is filled with nutritious food. A struggling family finds warmth and shelter. A nonprofit ministry is fueled with resources it needs to accomplish their God-given mission. But in this transfer of resources, it's not only the recipient who's blessed. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll presents another message in his teaching series called Hilarious Generosity. On today's program, we'll explore the rewarding outcome for those who give. Chuck titled his message, The Charming Joy of Grace Giving.
Giving comes because grace flows within us, and we want to go over and above what we would normally in our nature do. That's what grace does. It does a number on us. It changes us down inside. Joy and generosity characterize grace giving. Look, if you will, first at 2 Corinthians 8 before we take the verses in chapter 9. Verses 7, 8, and 9 in 2 Corinthians 8 seem to say it all. Paul writes to the people of Corinth, and please notice where they excelled. Since you excelled in so many ways, in your faith, in your gifted speakers, and your knowledge, in your enthusiasm, and then your love from us, all of those things you excelled in because of grace. And he says, I urge you to excel in this gracious act of giving. When grace fuels our faith, we excel in trust. When grace teaches the truth, we excel in communication. When grace accompanies our knowledge, we excel in understanding. When grace accompanies our enthusiasm, we excel in passion. When grace is demonstrated in love, we excel in affection. What about grace's role in giving? How does it make itself known? We excel in joy and in generosity. I like it, he says in verse 8, I'm not commanding you to do this. I'm testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of other churches. And then he uses the ultimate example. Look at 2 Corinthians 8, 9. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. He'll come back to that illustration at the end of chapter 9. Let me show you right here in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. We'll start with bountiful sowing. We're not farmers, but you know the word and you know what it means. Verse 6, 2 Corinthians 9, remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. Makes sense. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. There it is. Grace provides the original trip to Bountiful. Grace says, let me encourage you to do more. Let me let you think about being generous. Oh, why else would a farmer plant more seed if not expecting a greater crop? And the Lord says that he will, in fact, generously provide for us when we plant like that. Look at verse 8. God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. So in giving, we, verse 7, must decide what we are to give. Please observe what it says. Each one of you decide in your heart how much to give. The cheerful giving of the gift is a part of what grace can do within you. And until you capture grace within you clearly, sufficiently, you won't give cheerfully. You give because you feel guilty, or you're giving because somebody is talking about the need for it. No, you must decide in your own heart. You know what that suggests? Careful planning. Look again at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. Here is a promise. God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. Now look at verse 10. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. Now the analogy is what he does for the farmer, he will do for you and me. In this case, the givers. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. We tend to focus on our fear, on our panic that we will run out. But in fact, he won't let that happen. He says you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. When we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God for the fact that you were involved in it. When we were living in California and our children were much younger, my parents and Cynthia's parents were not there, so we had what we might call surrogate grandparents, Erna and Roland Holmer, Swedish couple, lovely couple. They wanted our kids to call them more and more four. More is mother's mother, and more four is mother's dad for grandma and grandpa. So they knew her as more. She was wonderful. And she would take our kids places, and we'd be sick of them, and she'd take them, and she'd keep them for 3 months and then bring them back. No. It wasn't that bad. But there were some tough days, and she could see it, and she'd say, let me come pick up the kids, and let me take them. We're going to go to the beach, or we're going to go have fun, do such and such. And we thought, that'd be great. Well, one time she took our younger daughter, Colleen, with her on a little excursion. They were going to have fun together. Well, she had fixed a little lunch for Colleen, and Colleen's appetite was bigger than a little lunch. So she finished it off, and as they're on their way back, more is eating an apple. In fact, she bites into it. And Colleen is leaning over the back of her seat looking at the apple. More said to me later, I could feel the saliva running down the back my neck. And she said, ooh, that looks good. And More said, yeah, it is good. Would you like some? He says, yes, I would. And she grabbed it like a leopard, and she gobbles it up right down to the core. So she hands the core back to More and says, More, that's sharing. Isn't that a great line? That's sharing, More. That's how you give. Don't be afraid of releasing the whole apple. It's okay. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. You won't run out. You won't run shy. And even if there may be a week or month or so that you do, it's good for you. It's good for us to do with less. Now, here's the part of the whole thing that's filled with grace that you often are not a part of. And that's the recipient who gets the gift. And we're not there when they get it. Let me show you. Look at the verse. Verse 12. So two good things result from this ministry of giving. You can number them. Number one, the needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met. Now, in this case, it's a need in Jerusalem. In your case, it may be someone else, somebody who may need a car, someone who may need tuition, someone who may need this need, a church that may be facing a need, whatever. The need will be met. And second, look at this, they will joyfully express their thanks to God. You know, unfortunately, you weren't there when the children and the young adults and the adults in special need began to play on this special equipment that you provided for them. But the joy was all over the playground. The delight was in the fact that this had been provided for them. They could now enjoy the out of doors and this great equipment. In fact, Paul goes on in 13, as a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God for your generosity to them. And to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. They will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. I wish we could see the result of our giving on the faces of missionaries when they benefit from our gift. It happened this last week, and I had a little window where I could see it. Charlie Costa is one of our missionaries. He serves in Beirut, Lebanon, right in the heart of the Middle East. And Charlie has stories that would keep you on the edge of your seat. The only guy I know that has bullet pot marks in his study where they've shot at him in hopes of killing him. He lives in danger, but you'd never know it. Charlie has a perpetual smile. This last Wednesday, we had a chance to have Charlie speak to our whole staff at our church. And so we were all in a room at the hub where the kids normally meet. And Charlie came and he was there to tell us the result of our gift. Let me tell you about the gift. The missions ministry chose to give $30,000 to a need for a summer camp that Charlie was putting together for Iraqi kids who had lived through half a lifetime of horror, even though they're still young kids. He wanted to bring them by airplane and then bus them to the place where they could be there near his area of ministry, and there they would have a summer camp together. The kids had never flown in their lives. They piled on the airplane, they flew, they came, and they played games, and they learned Bible stories, and they sang, and they ate together, and they shared boxes that had gifts in it, in each box. And Charlie was there to show us the video clip of the kids as they are sitting toward the end of the conference. Oh, I forgot to tell you one more thing. It's a great part of the story. They needed $40,000. All we had available was $30,000. So I presented the need to our elders. And you know what the elders' response was? Well, we got to give them the other 10. So let's make it up to 40. Man, I went home on cloud 9. How wonderful is that? That there would be that kind of spirit of generosity among our leadership. And I couldn't wait to send the note to Charlie. Charlie, I got great news. We got the $40,000. We're going to make sure you have everything. Well, anyway, the kids are at the camp, and they're all lined up. Some of them taller than I am, older kids. Some of them are little kids. They're all there, and they've all finished. Forget how many of them. They filled up this area. And they were singing, and they were thanking us, mainly in their language. And then he had taught them to say it in our language so that we could hear them say, thank you. You know what I noticed, all the kids? No one did this. Thanks. Thank you. They got smiles that'll break their ears. I mean, they're all over the place with laughter. Fun, joy. Charlie said to me alone later, the rest of their life, they'll never forget that camp. Isn't that great? You know what that is? That's the joyful expression of thanks to God for giving. If we could do a video clip like that on a regular basis so you could see the result of your giving, whether it's a staff member who benefits, or whether it's one of our missionaries who benefits, or whether it's a realm of ministry where there's been a need and your gift helped meet that need. Just as your benevolence gift meets the need of people we never announce, but as a result, they have a meal to eat, or they have a room to stay in. And the joy that floods over them can't be put into words. What did God do when he saw us in our need? Look at verse 15. Thank God for his gift. Too wonderful for words. And you know who that is. That's Jesus. God looked down and saw a whole humanity full of John Newtons. He saw all of us in our need. Through one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed on all men and women, for all have sinned. What's it going to take? It will take my son, my one and only son. And he will come, and he will pay the complete penalty for the sins of the world. You know how wonderful that gift is? It is called indescribable. There isn't a word for it. You know why? Because there wasn't a word available then or now. It can describe the beauty of God's gift to us. My hope for us as a church is that we will be known as a place of grace. And it starts with our own hearts, our own view of others. I thought of that when I remember a scene from a movie named Ironweed. The main characters are played by Jack Nicholson and Meryl Streep. They're stumbling across an old Eskimo woman lying in the snow, probably drunk. They themselves are besotted. And they're debating as they stand looking at this woman in the gutter about what they should do about her. Nicholson asks, "Is she a drunk or a bum?" She responds, Meryl Streep responds, "Just a bum. Been one all her life. And before that, she was a whore in Alaska." "She hasn't been a whore all her life. Before that, I don't know. Just a little kid, I guess." "Well, a little kid's something. It's not a bum, it's not a whore, it's something. Let's take her in." The two vagrants were seen picking up the woman from the gutter because they had looked at her through lenses of grace. Society saw her only as a bum and a prostitute. Grace saw a little kid, a person made in the image of God, no matter how defaced that image had become. When we are a people of grace, that's how we look at others. We don't look, see the obvious, and then make our judgment. We look beyond the obvious and think about the person. Just like God did for us. And even saving way back in 1748, a wretch like John Newton, who would give us a song to sing for the rest of our Christian life. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far. Grace will bring me home. I'd like us to bow our heads. Just close your eyes and sit quietly before the Lord. The question is not, am I a wretch down deep inside? We all are. We are by nature, by choice, by birth, sinful. Until the grace of God meets us and lifts us up and declares us righteous. If you've been declared righteous, the Lord invites you to have a meal at His table. He calls it the Lord's table. The tablecloth of grace covers your feet. All who know the Lord are invited. If you've never met the Lord and choose to reject Him even now, don't take these elements. Don't do that. Let the elements pass. This is your moment to receive the Lord Jesus. And if you choose to do that, you're invited to come to the meal. Today, we have two things that will happen. Most of us will eat the bread, be reminded of our Savior's body, and we'll drink from a little cup of juice, our Savior's blood, representing that. The other of you will let it pass. This is your moment to receive. Quiet us, our Father, as we bow before You. Prepare us by confessing our sins and making sure we're walking in the light so the meal will be eaten with clean hearts. We place ourselves before You with gratitude for Your grace that saw beyond us in our deepest need and loved us, saved us. Because of Your amazing grace, we will eat this bread and drink this cup. In Jesus' name, amen.
Following Chuck's message, the congregation at Stonebriar Community Church took communion together in response to the command of Jesus to eat the bread and drink the cup in remembrance of Him. At Insight for Living, we encourage you to participate in a local church where you can also partake in the Lord's table with friends and family. Chuck Swindoll titled today's message, The Charming Joy of Grace-Giving. Keep listening because we've set aside a few minutes at the close of today's program to hear an important comment from Chuck. All of us here at Insight for Living Ministries would like to say thank you to those who financially support our mission. Your generosity has a profound spiritual impact. I saw a note from a longtime listener that said, Dear Chuck, when I was going through one of the most frightful times in my life, alone in a foreign country with a 2-year-old and a second child on the way, and my marriage was falling apart, you spoke life into my desperate situation every day through your radio broadcast. I am so thankful that God used you to reassure me that He is always with me in the midst of a storm. Those are such encouraging words. And thank you to all those who make these moments possible. Since our first broadcast in 1979 until now, God has magnified the reach of this ministry through generous people like you. Chuck, with that in mind, we're inviting every listener to join us in this mission here at Insight for Living.
That's right. There's a lot at stake this month, and we know that when all of us band together, we can easily reach the June 30th goal. Our mission at Insight for Living Ministries is to make disciples, plain and simple. And that means we're equipping Christians here at home as well as around the world to think biblically so that Christians are prepared to act biblically. We want the truth of God's Word to flow through the veins of every listener, like healthy red blood, pumping life into the hearts of every follower of Christ. I love the way Charles Haddon Spurgeon once put it. With a twinkle in his eye, Spurgeon wrote this, "It is blessed to eat into the very soul of the Bible until at last you come to talk in spiritual language. and your spirit is flavored with the words of the Lord, so that your blood is biblean. I love that line, so that your blood is biblean. By the way, what's your blood type, Chuck? Next time they draw a sample from my arm, I'm going to tell the nurse, I'm biblean. By the way, what's yours? Here's the point. June 30th marks the end of our financial year. Our needs are enormous, no exaggeration. But really, it's not about money. It's about equipping clear-thinking Christians day in and day out. I'm calling you to be part of something phenomenal. God will use your gift to cultivate biblean Christians by investing your charitable donation in Insight for Living Ministries. You're equipping others to think biblically so that they're prepared to act biblically. Take down this contact information and then please get back in touch with us today. Together, let's accomplish something phenomenal.
And here's how to respond to Chuck Swindoll. If you prefer to send a personal check in the mail, address your envelope to Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. That's Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. You can also call us at 800-772-8888. Or you can give online at insight.org. I'm Bill Meyer. Join us when Chuck Swindoll continues his inspirational series called Hilarious Generosity, Tuesday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Charming Joy of Grace Giving, was copyrighted in 2015, 2016, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.